The shiur, of course, is Le'ilui Neshama of Bat Sheva, Chana, Bat Avraham, Golda Sheine Rochel. Before we go into, we are going to talk today. The two speakers that have to speak after me ask me what I'm talking about, because they want to know if maybe we're talking about the same thing. So, Baruch Hashem, we're not talking about the same thing. I hope so. Anyway, I'm the first one, so I've got no problem. I can talk about anything I want. We say when we come, the Ashkenazim say, when we come to a house of Aveilim, we say, HaMakom Yenachem Etchem B'toch Shar Avelei Tzion V'Yerushalayim V'lo Tedu L'Da'ava Ot. The Sfaradim say, Mishamayim Tenucham. Shorter, easier, but we want to understand what is Amakom Yenachem Etchem. What is Amakom? Do you know what Amakom is? The Kodesh Baruch Hu. Eretz Yisrael. Any other ideas? Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay. Hamakom, the simple translation is what?
The place.
So we say the Kodesh Baruch Hu is the place. But let's think about it literally like it's being said. Hamakom, the place. Hamakom yenachem etchem. The place will comfort you. How? Where is the neshama going? To the best place there is. So that's Hamakom yenachem etchem. And I like this explanation more than all the others. Because we have to understand, when we believe that this world is only a passageway, so it's only a short while we're here, and we prepare ourselves in this world to get to the next one. So if we prepare a good place, so the better we make the place, Hamakom Yenachem Etchem is even better said. And Baruch Hashem, in the case of Elisheva, we all know that really Hamakom Yenachem Etchem, the place where she is now, should be a great comfort to you. And in order to make it more understandable, there was this father who had three children. Very successful children. One became a professor, and he was sent to the States somewhere in one of the biggest hospitals in the world, and he was famous, and his father, of course, lived here in Israel. The other son was a very good businessman, and he did business in South Africa. The third son was very clever in science, and he was one of the scientists in one of the best universities in the world, somewhere in the other side of the world. Now, should this father be happy or sad? What do you think?
Happy.
But he is sad. Why is he sad? Because he doesn't see his children. They are far away. So in other words, if we really believe and understand that Hamakom Yenachem Otchem, the place where the neshama is the best place that can be. And in our case, I think the parents could be, the parents and the children and the others could be very proud about the place where Elisheva is. Bat Sheva. I've got problems with names. So, sometimes we look and we don't understand. You know, she was only a short time here. But if we look back in history, a lot of the greatest rabbis, tzaddikim and tzaddikot, left this world in a very early age. Ari HaKadosh or Achaim HaKadosh. And there are a lot of them. In other words, going in a young age doesn't mean anything is wrong. On the contrary, it means that it was so good that she finished the job here. And when the neshama finished the job here, she's got nothing to do here anymore. She goes up. And we have to be happy about it. Of course, we are, from other side, sad that the neshama left us. I heard today a very interesting story. They say in the Gemara, o chavruta, o mituta. In other words, if somebody's got a companion that he learns with him all time, that's a chavruta. And you need a chavruta. And when this chavruta is not there, the one who is left fails like is dead. He's got something. He's got missing. He's got. Hasn't got the guy to speak with. I always remember when my father, Lava Sholom, went. We thank God he had a third generation in the business, and he was very proud about it. That his business is going to the third generation. And when, let's say, when he was around 90, he didn't come to the business every day, but he used still to come here and there. And every time we had a good deal, I used to call my father to tell him we did a good deal, and he was very happy about it. So it took me a while to get used to the idea that there is nobody to phone. And the first minute that I had a good deal going on, I wanted to call who? I wanted to call him. But there was nobody to call to. This is the side that we have to live with. But from the other side, if we put it in our mind really deep that the neshama is somewhere very, very high, we should be very happy about it. And in our case, from all the stories I heard, and I know her as a child, so I don't remember what she exactly did when she was a child, but I remember a very happy child. And my wife even told me that she used to see her around, going around all the time. But we all heard the stories, and we all know about what she did and how she behaved. And really, first of all, I had to start this shiur with the understanding that we are all very happy about where the neshama is. From the other side, we've got something, somebody is missing in our life, especially in the life of those who are very close to her. So in order to make it even a little better, we're going to talk about women power. Our parsha is an unbelievable parsha in this case. Our parsha is really showing us the power of women. And sometimes people look at the Torah and think that the Torah looks at women as, let's say, they are not so important as men. And it's so stupid to think like this, because when we look very carefully, we find that behind every man, there is a woman. Nevertheless, we see with Sarah Imenu, when Avram Avinu, Sarah is telling him, I want you to send this guy away. I don't want Ishmael in my home. And Avram doesn't want to. So God reveals himself to him and tells him, whatever, that's what's written. Whatever Sarah is telling you, you do. So who is greater, Avram or Sarah? I don't want to say who is greater. The thing is that it's a couple. And that's exactly what the whole idea about. Everybody's got his own job in this world. And we learned about it in last week, Parsha, when Yaakov Avinu gave his beautiful blessing, and we were looking in some of them, where is exactly the blessing? But the blessing was to tell each one of us, what is our job in life? And when we know what our job in life is, it's much easier to achieve the task, which is building our Olam Haba. Let's see what's happening in our Parsha regarding, we have Yocheved, Miriam, and we have also a Goya. We have the daughter of Pharaoh also doing something heroic and unbelievable. It starts from this, that Pharaoh is telling the Meyaldot HaIvriot to kill all the male that are being born, all the babies, and not the female, only the male. So why is he doing it? Not because he loves the females and he hates the male, because he got a prophecy from his sorceress that told him that a Moshiach is going to come and save Am Yisrael, and it's going to be a male. But from the other side, he also knew that if he's going to kill everybody, so nobody will go to those midwives in order to have a baby. Because if they see everybody is dead, who wants to go there? So he was very clever. And if we want to understand how clever he was, when we look at the name of Pharaoh, we see a very interesting thing. We have a pei and a hey at the end. What is pei and a hey? Pei, mouth. What do we have in the inside? What is it? Ra. That's Pharaoh. From the outside, he speaks, very nicely. But inside, it's evil. It's Ra. Ze Faro. Pe Ra. From the other side, he's very clever. When he wanted Am Yisrael to be slaved, he knew it, you cannot just come to a princess that were the high level of society in Egypt and just make them slaves. It doesn't look good. You cannot just do it like it is. You have to be clever. So what does he do? It was when Evid Otam Baparich. So he said Beperach. So one of the Meforshim asked, what is Beperach? Well, it's very simple. What do you have to get to a midrash like this? Evid Otam Baparich. Evid Otam Baparich. He had enslaved them. He says, it's impossible. It has to be something more in it. So that's Beferach. What's Beferach? In the beginning, he told them, you know, we need your help. We have maybe enemies from the outside. We have to build pyramids. We have to do things. And he even himself came to work. So the first day, the second day, they got a salary and everything was beautiful. But then, slowly but surely, it ended. And there is a lot to talk about it. But I want to get to the women in the parsha. Pharaoh's got a pay in his name. And this pay, everybody who had a title in Egypt had to have this pay in his name. Potiphar's got two pays. Yosef was called Tzafnat Paaneach. Again, two pays. But he kept to his old name. Why? Because in Yosef, there is a pay. So he's got no problem. The same thing, when we go on, Ephraim's got a pay. Menashe hasn't got it, because Menashe was like in the beginning. But then when you got involved with the society, you couldn't just call a prince in Egypt in a Hebrew normal name. You had to find a pay inside, which made you connected to the regime in Egypt. Now, the Torah is telling us, the name of the Mialdot Ivriot, Veshmam Hu Shifra Vepua. Is that the real name? So that's not the real name. So what is this name, Shifra and Pua? And they try to explain, Meshaperet et Avalach, whatever is, a lot of explanation. But this is a very simple explanation. Pharaoh knew, if he will come to Yocheved and Miriam and tell them, I want you to kill the babies, is it going to happen? Of course not. So what did he do? He was very clever. So he got there and he showed them love, each one separate. Sent them flowers, came to visit them, and he told himself, a slave girl, she is from the slave house, she comes from slaves. And she went, the king, the almighty king of Egypt, which considers him as a god, is going to come and show her love and will make her feel good. He even changed her name. He gave them names which are royalty names. Shifra with a pay and also a hay. And Pua, which is also a pay and a hay. Two letters of his name. Now, if they feel now so close to the king, they will do whatever he wants to. That's what he thought. But we all know that it didn't work. Nevertheless, not only didn't work, they not only prevented from the babies to die, they helped them to live. Vatechayena etai. So that's Shifra and Pua, Yocheved and Miriam. And it doesn't end with this. By the way, this explanation, I want to say it, I'm Kola Omer Davar B'Shem Uvom V'Gula La'olam, that's Rav Zalman Sorotskin in Oznaim LaTorah, about the names and the approach of Pharaoh to the midwives and what he did. So Pharaoh comes to them and tells them, what did you do? I asked you to kill all the males, all the baby males. Why didn't you do it? It says, Kichayot Hena. What is Kichayot Hena? What? Like animals, one explanation. The other, Chayot Hena, is also a Yoled that's called Chaya. Also, what is Chayot Hena? What is Chayot? Chayim. Now let's understand what's going on here. They say ki chayot hena. What they meant, like for him to understand, when we came, They're like animals. They didn't need us. When we came, the baby was already there. Now, what do you want us to do? The baby's already there. What do you want us to kill him? No. We showed them that we have no bad feeling, no bad meanings. And on the contrary, we helped them. Because this way, we could maybe try and do what you want in another case. But Chayotena, all of them, they're like animals. They don't need a midwife. We come home. We know that they have to give birth. And that day, when we come there, the baby's already there. In the Bible, it's a very interesting thing. Sometimes we say things, but we mean to something else which is inside. For example, when Judah comes to Joseph and tells him, Ki chamocha kefaro, you are like Pharaoh. What does it sound like? It sounds good. You are like Pharaoh. You are a great guy. But the real truth is that the inside meaning is not so nice. It says, I'm going to kill you like Pharaoh, but one of the explainers says, who is Pharaoh? Pharaoh is a guy who was born Pharaoh. Not because he was very, very clever. He was clever. But he became a Pharaoh because his father was a Pharaoh. His father was a king, so he is a king. But you, Joseph, you were a slave. And you, from a slave, become the second in command in all Egypt. This is greatness. But if I tell you that he kamocha kefaro, what does it mean? That's an insult. You behave like Pharaoh. I thought you were a clever guy, but you're not so clever. Ki chayotena. What is living? What is living? In Judaism, living is mitzvot, ma'asim tovim, Torah. That's living. Without it, it's death. And that's exactly the point. It says ki chayotena. What do you think? We consider life like you think. Life in our case is a whole different story. You can say whatever you want to. We will never listen to you. And we all know through history all those who tried to kill us. But we are alive. Why we are alive? Because we have a special life. Yaakov Avinu is blessing Ephraim and Menashe in a very interesting blessing. V'yidgu larov bekerev haaretz. What is v'yidgu larov bekerev haaretz? What is v'yidgu larov bekerev haaretz? Spread like fishes. So I want to ask you a question. Where do fish spread? In water or on land? Where? In water. In other words, if I take them out of the water, what happens? They die. And what is the blessing say? V'yidgu larov bekerev haaretz. What is haaretz? How can they live gularov bekerev haaretz? But that's exactly the blessing. And that is one of the reasons that why we bless our children in this blessing. Because what Yaakov is really saying, yidgu larov bekerev haaretz, even when you be taken away on a galut, you're not going to live in Eretz Israel with the holiness of Eretz Israel, with the holiness of the temple. You're going to be spread out all over the world. You will still be like fish in water, though you're not in water. V'yidgu larov bekerev haaretz. And Baruch Hashem, whatever they try to do us, wherever they took us, we are here and we are here forever. That is life. In our eyes, in the eyes of the Torah. And if we think for a minute that Miriam, that's the only thing she did, it's written in the Torah, Vayelech ish mi bet Levi, vayikach et bat Levi. Who do we talk about? Amram is going to take again Yocheved after he separated from him. Why did he separate from Yocheved? Because Pharaoh said, you have to kill all the children, all the males. So if that's the case, I don't want to be with my wife, I don't want to bring children to this world which they're going to live for 2 minutes on, and then they're being killed. Is he right or wrong? Is he right or wrong? Why is he wrong? Why is he wrong? What? You're going to give children to the world and then they're going to be killed? So why do we bring them to this world? Came Miriam to her father. And her father is Dolador. And she told him, Faro gazar mita ba'olam hazeh. Pharaoh said to kill the children in this world. What you are doing is worse. You are killing them in this world and in the next world. What does it mean? In order for the neshama to get to the next world, it has to get to this world. If the neshama doesn't go through this world, it cannot get to the next world. In other words, if you are not going to bring children to this world, even for 1 minute, it means that those neshama are going to wait there for them impossible to get down in order to get to the next world. Sometimes we are puzzled. We see tzaddikim and a child, a baby, suddenly after a few days come to this world and dies. And we see a lot of things, as we see now. And we are puzzled. Why? Why did it happen? There is a famous story about a couple that had a baby like Rida for a few days and then it died. And they didn't know. They came to the rabbi and the rabbi told them, it was a mekubal, whatever, you don't even know what neshama you had in your home for a few days. There was a tzaddik living and he died, but he had a problem. When he came to heaven, they told him, you are perfect, but you've got something missing. And if you can fulfill this task, you're going to get a much better place in Gan Eden, in the next world. What was his problem? For a few days, he was being fed by a goya. And those few days disturbed his, let's say, his upgoing to a next level. So he came to this world only for a few days to fix it, and then he got there and got. So you know, if you don't even understand what a great neshama you had here. And that's exactly the understanding of what is happening sometimes. If we understand and really believe that this world is only a passageway to the next world. So Miriam is telling her father, you are killing Am Israel, not only in this world, but in the next world. Because if you're not going to bring children to this world, which is your job, what's going to be? Vayelech ish bet levi vaykach isha bat levi. So he's going and he's taking back. Because of whom? Because of Miriam. And then this child grows and you cannot keep him at home. So what is the solution? They put him in a box on the Yeor. And who is looking after him? Again, Miriam. Now you have to understand the picture. The picture is very clear. It's a horrible picture. You are on the Yeor, and you have bodies of children lying around in the Yeor because they were thrown there by the Egyptian. And in kol ben ha'ilod ha'yeor ha'tashlichuhu. And in this middle of all those bodies swimming around, you've got this small box with Moshe Rabbeinu. And Miriam is standing to look what's going to happen. And who is coming to the Yeor? Which is the daughter of Hitler of his time, Yimach Shimo Bezikro. Think about it. This is Tzorer HaYehudim. This guy was having a bath with blood of babies. This king ordered to kill all the babies being born, the male babies. This guy forgot all the good Joseph brought to Egypt. And his daughter is there. What do you think is going to happen? Is he going to save or is he going to be killed? What do you think? The normal thing would be, he's going to be killed. And then an amazing thing happens. Vatishlach et amata. So there are a few explanations. What is Amata? One is a slave girl. The other one,
her hand.
What happened to her hand?
Got long.
Which is another lesson for us to understand. Sometimes in life we stand in front of something which looks very difficult. So we say, okay, it's not for me. I cannot do this. So what is Batya teaching us? You do the first step. Leave the rest to God. But you do the first step, and if you do the first step and you really mean, you want to do it, God will help. Vatishlach et amata, she wanted to save the baby. So for this, God made her hand long and she took the baby. Now, does she know that the baby is Hebrew, maybe it's an Egyptian baby. But look what the Parsha is telling us. To be clear, Sefer Shmot, ותפתח ותראו את הילד, והנה נער בוכה, a crying baby, ותחמול עליו, ותומר מילדי העברים זה. So it's very clear she knows exactly who this baby is. And she knows exactly what her father ordered. And what is she doing? She takes him. Now what happens is very interesting. She wants to find somebody to breastfeed the baby. But Moshe, which is going to talk with God, he cannot touch Chalav Nochri. So, what's happening? Miriam is getting out. Now, she doesn't know exactly what's happening. She's standing quite far. It could be that she doesn't understand the picture and maybe she's going to be killed. But she approaching her and says, "Vatomer lab, sorry. Vatomer achoto el bat paro, aelech vekarati lach eshem meneket min haivriot etenek lach et hayelet." Do you want me to call somebody of the Hebrew ladies that will feed the baby? ותאמר לבת פרעה לכי, go. ותלך על מה ותקרא את whom? את אם הילד, her mother. ותאמר לבת פרעה, אילך את הילד, take the kid, breastfeed him, ואני אתן את שכרך. And you're also going to get paid. Very nice. ותיקח האישה את הילד, ויניקהו, ויגדל הילד, ותביאהו לבת פרעה, ויהי לה לבן. Now, imagine to yourself this picture. The daughter of Pharaoh is bringing to the palace a Jew. Now he knows the prophecy that his sorcerers told him. So what would you do with a Jewish baby in your palace? What would you do? Raise him or kill him? What? Kill him. But Pharaoh is very clever. And his cleverness brings him to the end. He thinks to himself, 1 minute. I'm going to bring this baby to my palace. How do I'm going to look now to the whole world? A righteous king. But suddenly, look what I'm doing. I'm taking one of the slaves and raising him in my palace and giving all the best of Egypt. From the other side, what would you think will happen to a baby that is being raised in a palace of Pharaoh? What do you think? Is he going to be Jewish or a goy? What do you think? He's not going to be Jewish. If all the good he's got in his palace and he's being raised up as an Egyptian. It's unbelievable. Such a clever plan. And then I will have this Jew, what they call it a toy Jew. Yehudi Mahmad in Hebrew they call it. And it happened in history a few times. And by the way, we all know this. Also the Nazis, Yimach Shemam Bezichram, they were doing pictures of the concentration camp like they are a holiday place. Now, this is a beautiful plan, but he doesn't understand Pharaoh. Ki this Pharaoh, lo yada et Yosef. What is lo yada et Yosef? He didn't know the story of Joseph. In other words, he didn't understand. Joseph was being sold. His brother wanted to kill him. And eventually what happens? He become the second in command in Egypt. He didn't know this story. He didn't understand that you cannot go against God. And on the contrary, whatever you're going to do, you are going to be the tool. And funny enough, Pharaoh himself is raising in his palace the savior of Am Yisrael. Is this not funny? And giving him the best tool. You know, and later on, when God reveals himself to Moshe, and Moshe says, who am I to go? And it's a whole discussion for 7 days about this. And he says, who am I to go to Pharaoh? what do you want from me? And God is telling me, that's your job. Why do you think you go to the palace of Pharaoh? Who is going to talk with Pharaoh? Aaron? Does he know how to talk with the king? Does he know manners? You were raised in the palace. You know exactly the language, how to talk with them, how to do anything. And we can talk about it and talk about it, but my time is ended. So I want to end in understanding, first of all, as I said, the power of women. And this is what we see in our parsha. We see Yocheved, Miriam, and we see the daughter of Pharaoh. The daughter of Pharaoh, what she's doing against the will of her father. And she's called Bat Yah, the daughter of God. And that's exactly, in our case, the same story. The daughter of God, should her neshama have good rest, and Bezrat Hashem will talk good for us and bring the geulah b'mehrah b'yameinu. Amen.